Many residents of the Chesapeake Bay region have felt the sting of a seed nettle at least once in their life, sometimes an unfortunate consequence of the activities we enjoy on our waterways. While the pain of a sting may be enough to elicit a sharp word or two, these creatures and other jellyfish species pulsating through the bay aren't out to get us and in fact are a critical part of the bay's ecosystem. National Aquarium General Curator Jack Cover has joined me today to tell us more about the jellies that inhabit the Chesapeake Bay. Welcome, Jack.
Great to be here, John.
First things first, let's clarify the terminology. Jellyfish, sea nettle, or both?
Well, a sea nettle is actually a type of jellyfish, and the Atlantic sea nettle is a dominant species in the bay. If we had a state jellyfish, it would definitely be the Atlantic sea nettle. However, we do have other species in the bay. We have two types of comb jellyfish, the Leidy's comb jelly and the pink comb jelly. In the wintertime, we have lion's mane nettles in the bay. They are brackish water species. And then in the lower bay, we have moon jellies. Many species of jellyfish do not tolerate the brackish water of the bay, but the four species I mentioned before definitely do well in brackish water.
So tell us more about the Atlantic sea nettle.
The sea nettle, as I said, is a dominant species in the bay. And you may wonder how we go from early summer having no sea nettles in the bay to basically having an abundance of sea nettles in the bay. One female sea nettle can lay up to 45,000 eggs in one day.
Wow.
So they have a big reproductive potential, and they basically, once the conditions are right, there's lots of food, they feed on plankton in the bay, they will expand their numbers quite rapidly. On years when there's a lot of rain, we actually can sometimes have a bay pretty much free of the free-swimming stage of sea nettles because they won't start reproducing until the water hits a certain salinity.
So when a sea nettle stings us, what's going on?
Actually, it's an accidental encounter. Sea nettles have stinging tentacles. They have long tentacles covered with these thousands and thousands of these tiny cells called nematocysts. Those nematocysts have a little hair trigger. When anything brushes against the nematocyst, it fires a little harpoon and injects venom. This is used to primarily immobilize their prey. When a sea nettle bumps into a swimmer, it's definitely not trying to consume you, but it's basically an automatic response that all those nematocysts fire and put venom into your arm or leg.
Well, since you've brought it up, I want to know about the best remedy for a sting. We've heard all kinds. What are the most effective ways to deal with a jellyfish sting?
First of all, most of the home remedies actually aren't effective. For example, you often hear about using urine to neutralize jelly stings. That doesn't work at all. In fact, many of these home remedies for sea nettle stings were tested by a dermatologist by the name of Joseph Burnett here at the University of Maryland Hospital. Other things people will use, meat tenderizer and oftentimes vinegar. Dr. Burnett found that these are also not effective. For a sea nettle, the best thing that you can do is to rinse off with the water you're in, take a shower, and then basically take an over-the-counter analgesic like Benadryl. Once the venom is in, you're not going to neutralize it with meat tenderizer or vinegar, things like that. So a lot of the home remedies just simply don't work.
Well, and I guess the best overall treatment is to just try not to get stung in the first place. Thanks for coming in, Jack. To learn more about jellyfish in general, as well as about our upcoming exhibit, Living Seashore, which will feature a species of jellyfish, visit aqua.org/abluview. This is John Racanelli of the National Aquarium for WYPR, your NPR news station.